The Baudelaires took a long look at their friends. They were reminded of the last time they saw their parents, waving goodbye to them as they left for the beach. They had not known, of course, that it would be the last moment they would spend with their mother and father, and again, each of the Baudelaires had gone back to that day in their lives, wishing that they had said something more than a casual goodbye. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny looked at the two triplets, and hoped that this was not such a time, a time when people they cared for would disappear from their lives forever. But what if it were? If we never see, Violet stopped, swallowed, and began again. If something goes wrong. Duncan took Violet's hands and looked right at her. Violet saw, behind Klaus's glasses, the serious look in Duncan's wide eyes. Nothing will go wrong, he said firmly, though of course he was wrong at that very moment. Nothing will go wrong at all. We'll see you in the morning, Baudelaires. Isadora nodded solemnly and followed her brother and the bag of flour away from the orphan shack. The Baudelaire orphans watched them walk toward the front lawn until the triplets were merely two specks, dragging another speck along with them. You know, Klaus said, as they watched them, from a distance, in the dim light, they look quite a bit like us. Abax, Sunny agreed. I hope so, Violet murmured. I hope so. But in the meantime, we'd better stop thinking about them and get started on our half of the plan. Let's put our noisy shoes on and go into the shack. I can't imagine how you're going to make staples, Klaus said, with only a fork, a few teaspoons of creamed spinach, and a small potato. That sounds more like the ingredients for a side dish than for a staple-making device. I hope your inventing skills haven't been dulled by a lack of sleep. I don't think they have, Violet said. It's amazing how much energy you can have once you have a plan. Besides, my plan doesn't only involve the things I snitched. It involves one of the orphan shack crabs and our noisy shoes. Now, when we all have our shoes on, please follow my instructions. The two younger Baudelaires were quite puzzled at this, but they had learned long ago that when it came to inventions, Violet could be trusted absolutely. In the recent past, she had invented a grappling hook, a lockpick, a signaling device, and now, come hell or high water, an expression which here means using a fork, a few teaspoons of creamed spinach, a small potato, a live crab, and noisy shoes. She was going to invent a staple-making device. The three siblings put on their shoes and, following Violet's instructions, entered the shack. As usual, the tiny crabs were lounging around, taking advantage of their time alone in the shack when they wouldn't be frightened by loud noises. On most occasions, the Baudelaires would stomp wildly on the floor when they entered the shack, and the crabs would scurry underneath the bales of hay and into other hiding places in the room. This time, however, Violet instructed her siblings to step on the floor in carefully arranged patterns, so as to herd one of the grumpiest and biggest clawed crabs into a corner of the shack. While the other crabs scattered, this crab was trapped in a corner, afraid of the noisy shoes, but with nowhere to hide from them. "Good work," Violet cried. "Keep him in the corner, Sonny, while I ready the potato." "What is the potato for?" Klaus asked. "As we know," Violet explained, as Sunny tapped her little feet this way and that to keep the crab in the corner. "These crabs love to get their claws on our toes. I specifically snitched a potato that was toe-shaped. You see how it's curved in a sort of oval way, and the little bumpy part here looks like a toenail?" "You're right," Klaus said. "The resemblance is remarkable, but what does it have to do with staples?" "Well, the metal rods that Nero gave us are very long, and need to be cut cleanly into small, staple-sized pieces. While Sunny keeps the crab in the corner, I'm going to wave the potato at him. He, or she, come to think of it, I don't know how to tell a boy crab from a girl crab." "It's a boy," Klaus said. "Trust me." "Well, he'll think it's a toe," Violet continued, "and snap at it with his claws. At that instant, I'll yank the potato away and put a rod in its place. If I do it carefully enough, the crab should do a perfect job of slicing it up." "And then what?" Klaus asked. "First things first," Violet replied firmly. "Okay, Sonny, keep tapping those noisy shoes. I'm ready with the potato and rod number one." "What can I do?" Klaus asked. "You can start studying for the comprehensive exam, of course," Violet said. "I couldn't possibly read all of Duncan's notes in just one night. While Sonny and I make the staples, you need to read Duncan and Isadora's notebooks, memorize the measurements from Mrs. Bass's class, and teach me all of Mr. Remora's stories." "Roger," Klaus said.